This is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to the Web Talk Guys radio show. And if you're a new listener, our website can be found at webtalkguys.com. This is the place to hear about the future of the internet.
And I'm his female cohort. I'm Dana. It's great to have you guys on board with us. We work very hard to bring you interesting trends and tech developments. Yes, we toil over our keyboards night and day.
Yes, we do.
We want to bring you the trends from around the web. And we've been spending a lot of time making a video newsletter for you, so I do want to give you a heads up right now. If you haven't already seen it, and our subscribers have it delivered to them in their inbox, but come to our website, webtalkguys.com, and it's right there on the front page, our video newsletter. You can see our own Rob Greenlee moving instead of just hearing his voice.
So does this mean that we're going to have to change the name of our show to Web Talk Guys Video instead of Web Talk Guys Radio?
Well, actually, the video is more than just a newsletter of what's on the show and little sound bites of the future. We'll have Digital Mailbag, a segment where we read letters from you, and Bookmark of the Week. Rob picks an interesting bookmark this week, and you're going to have to listen and watch to
and
find out.
We also talk about other technology and internet trends on there that aren't covered on the radio show.
That's right.
We are always surprised every week with the major developments and steps that the web makes, and this week was no disappointment. Major e-tailers are beginning to charge sales tax on all purchases.
It isn't so.
Yeah, it's starting to happen. And it's often buried in the fine print of their websites.
But on the subtotal.
Exactly. Well, you're going to notice it if it adds there. But a number of major e-commerce players, including Walmart and Target, have begun charging their customer sales tax on almost all online purchases.
What is the sales tax rate, I wonder? Because, you know, that varies.
I'm sure it does, and they're actually calculating that they've been in negotiations between the retailers and a consortium of state governments, where they've actually come up with the rates in each of the states to start charging. So the industry is taking care of this whole online tax issue. I know we've been talking about this on the show for a couple of years now, that the Congress and the Senate keeps putting off passing legislation, but it sounds like the industry and the governments are kind of getting together on this in advance.
You know, this is how I like to look at it. It's kind of like money to pave the roads on the information superhighway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's taxed to pave our roads.
I mean, I think it was inevitable that it was going to happen. It's just this is a better way to have it happen than have the Senate and the Congress have to pass laws.
Remember I mentioned a moment ago that we have our newsletter subscribers and we love them all. Jennifer from Chicago just subscribed to the Web.Guys newsletter. And in the process of that, she filled out her little sign-up form that we asked several interesting questions. And while she was subscribing, she made the comment, "She loves the web!" Exclamation mark.
That's why she subscribed to our newsletter, so she can keep up with what's happening on out there.
I love her enthusiasm. when we asked her what topic she'd like to hear, she mentioned the following: online music, broadband, streaming media. Well, we do that. Streamingmediashow.com. Mm-hmm. That's one of our properties. Instant Messenger, and she found us on the Sonic Box. So let's say a little bit about Sonic Box, Rob.
Well, that's just a player of internet radio, and it's through the IM Tuner Network out there. And there's a whole list of, I think there's a couple hundred radio broadcasts, internet broadcasts, that funnel through the IM network that actually goes to some Philips boom boxes now. So you can plug your broadband connection into the back of a boom box.
I just got today an email from Dan in Texas, and he actually was listening to our show on the Sonic Box, the online version you download application. But he said the problem with that is if you have any kind of disruption halfway through, you can't resume where you started.
You have to start over right at the beginning of the stream.
I hope they approve. But, you know, the physical boombox might be, I don't know. It may not be different.
We also heard from Gene in California, and he found us in a search engine and was very desirous to find out information about wireless internet, e-commerce, web design, and streaming media, and also email marketing. And the common topic interest here that we've seen, just with these two subscribers, we pick up dozens of subscribers every week to our newsletter, but the common interest is streaming media. So what we've decided to do is dedicate the majority of the show to the topic of streaming media like we usually do.
Well, we've been hearing about a company for a long time up in the Seattle area, something we've been familiar with, singingfish.com, and they are the Google
of searchable online audio and video.
Because it's not something that the search engines do well right now.
No, it isn't.
At all. And Singing Fish does an excellent job.
They actually issued a press release that kind of got our attention. They've achieved a milestone. They've achieved 1 million online audio and video searches per day.
Every day.
This is a sign that this is a growing trend, and we're going to speak with Karen Howe, who's the CEO of SingingFish.com. They are really right now the largest online audio and video search engine, and they've just finished working out some search deals with Microsoft Media Player and the Real Networks Real One Player for exclusive media search technology and all those players. And we're going to, like I said, dedicate this whole show to talking about this topic because we feel on the show it's a huge online trend.
What we do as a search engine is we look specifically for audio and video files on the internet. Think of us as like the Google of audio video. So we spider the internet. We look for rich pockets where we're going to find great audio and video content. We collect that information, index it, and present the index to end users so that they can take action with that. You know, listen to music or watch a movie trailer, things of that nature.
You're listening to Web Talk Guys Radio, and I'm Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Dana. Some news from around the net this week. The world is singing the praises of the new Opera 7 browser. And danger, danger, danger goes full color overseas.
Norway-based browser Opera has just released its new version 7 for Windows. What they're saying about this new browser is that it's not great enough to knock out the IE6, which is the Microsoft browser.
That's just impossible to do.
Yeah, but it's strong enough and good enough to really knock Netscape out of the game.
Interesting.
So the browser is very small and fast, and we've actually had the CTO of Opera on our show. It was probably about a year ago or so, and he was telling us how his application is small. You could actually transport it in a floppy disk.
That's
from computer
terrific.
To computer.
How many megabytes of download is it for
IE? Oh, yeah. It's like 20 or 30 or something like that. But it's definitely picking up speed on mobile devices and desktops all over the world. Even Apple and the Linux operating system are able to use this browser. Go check them out at opera.com. And it's a great little browser, and it's open source, too.
Good. Well, I said danger, danger earlier. Danger is sort of a new type of T-Mobile Sidekick. It's a little cute cell phone that we were marveling over in the store the other day.
Yeah, it's got a little keyboard built into it and a little swivel screen that it's really kind of a cutting-edge thing. And it's a cell phone, and it has internet access, always on internet access, has gaming, and all one simple handheld device. And this past year, it was considered one of the hottest wireless devices of the year.
Now, the problem is it's black and white right now.
Yeah, it is. And that certainly is one of its limitations. But it also was an advantage for this device as well when it got off the ground because it kept the price down so people could afford to get this thing. And it also cut down the need for battery life. So it really extended the life as a wireless device.
And it gives them some place to go. You know, they are working on that color screen.
There's a rumor flying around that the Danger European device will come out with a color display. And that's kind of pushing forward the thought that that device is going to hit the U.S. market at some point. It's got a terrific web experience. You know, you can view an entire web page through this, and the company has about $47 million in venture capital. So the experts out there feel that the company has the financial ammo and the genius to succeed in the marketplace.
Now, is this thing called HipTop as well?
Well, that's the actual product name that was assigned by Danger. Danger is actually the parent company of the HipTop device, which is AKA the T-Mobile Sidekick. So go check it out. Go to actually danger.com.
That's a good domain.
Yeah. Stay tuned because up next we're going to be speaking with Karen Howe, who's CEO of Seattle-based audio and video search engine, SingingFish.com. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
It's a real thing. A radio signal from another world.
Do you want to put audio and video on the internet? The Streaming Media Bible is the most comprehensive book on the subject, teaching you how to create, encode, author, and serve the highest quality streaming media files. You'll learn how to produce broadcast quality audio and video and stream it using QuickTime, Real Networks, and Windows Media formats. The Streaming Media Bible contains over 1,000 pages of crucial information and a CD with examples and tons of demo software. Find out more today at streamingmediabible.com.
The Web Talk guys are thrilled to be your radio hosts, but we'd also be thrilled to host your website, too. The Web Talk guys' website hosting service combines a high-speed, dedicated internet connection and the marketing power of a link from the show's website to help you. We offer all the standard hosting stuff for a very low, limited-time hosting price of only $10 a month for the first 3 months. To learn more, go to webtalkguys.com and click on Web Services or email info@webtalkguys.com. You can reach us by calling area code 253-640-0164. Web Talk guys, not just your radio hosts, but also your total hosting solution.
Web Talk Guys, downloading.
Web Talk Guys, buffering.
Welcome back to the Web Talk Guys radio show, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm here with Web Girl Dana. We all take for granted the proliferation of text-based search on the internet with sites like Google and Yahoo. But think about it. What is the number one medium that people flock to now? And it's video and audio, or radio and television.
That's right. I know we do. And we've uncovered a Seattle-based company that believes the same way. And in fact, they're so good at finding audio and video on the web that they have now had over 1 million searches a day.
They've reached that milestone.
Yes. Yep. Through their various partners that they have.
We have Karen Howe, who is CEO of SingingFish.com, the largest online audio and video search engine. Karen, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here.
Why don't you give us a little bit more of a background on SingingFish.com and what it does and how it works?
Great, I'd love to do that. Basically, what we do as a search engine is we look specifically for audio and video files on the internet. Now, a lot of folks out there are quite familiar with search engines, but they're thinking, well, document and text type of a search engine, like, say, a Google, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, think of us as like the Google of audio-video. There are some 3,700 specialty search engines out in the market today, mm-hmm. and we are one of the very few that specialize just in audio and video search. So we spider the internet. We look for rich pockets where we're going to find great audio and video content. We collect that information, index it, and present the index to end users so that they can take action with that. You know, listen to music or watch a movie trailer, things of that nature.
Yeah, that leads into my next question is, what kind of categories are you guys primarily in listing in your search engine? Is there a predominance? Is it news, entertainment, radio? What are you guys indexing?
Categorization is really important to search engines because it helps narrow your focus. We've indexed some 35 million streams, and so when you've got that kind of an inventory, you really have to get clever about organizing that information so people can do something with it. So music, movies, TV, sports, radio, finance, we categorize into a top-level type of a format. So, for example, if you were doing a search on, say, Madonna, but you only wanted to hear her radio interviews or heaven help you, just take a look at the movie trailers, you know, you could separate it out like that so that you're not looking for her MP3s or necessarily the music videos.
That's terrific. Well, you guys recently hit a milestone of, a million searches a day?
Yeah, a million queries a day.
Tell us about that.
Which is a terrific milestone for us. It's something that Thomson looks at, which is our parent company, by the way. They look at that as an achievement. We certainly do. And it's something that we're going to – what's nice is that's just where you start from, and then you keep going.
Yeah, it's only
so
up from here.
As we're able to go ahead and gain distribution on to different types of sites and attract more people to audio-video search – you know, those numbers just continue to go up because they don't go down. That's the other good news part of that story. Is once you start up, you stay on that steady climb up.
So how fast is that growing? I mean, what have you seen in the last 12 months?
Well, what's happened is that as we add customers, because typically what we try to do is work with a player, for example, like mm-hmm. the Real One player. So once we brought them on as a customer, we saw a huge spike in traffic. Once we brought on Microsoft with the Windows Media Player 9 and the Windows Media site, we saw another huge spike in traffic. Now, we have other smaller sites that we are participants on, such as Simpatico Lycos, which is the largest broadband portal out of Canada, and FreshEye, which is actually Japanese search in Japan. Now, those are smaller spikes, but they contribute to the overall number. We never tried to do anything with Singing Fish to turn it into a destination site in and of itself. Our business model has always been to license the content into other providers of content, such as portals or players or ISPs, things of that nature.
Certainly that makes you more attractive to, you know, future partners, but I do want to say, that being said, singingfish.com is a destination. You have a search right there on the front page, and it's terrific.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank
That's
you.
Great.
And
yeah.
Second of all, what we're able to do on singingfish.com is kind of highlight all the different functionality that we're able to put together for search, because our customers have the option of how they want to deploy search within their product. For example, on the Windows Media site, for example, you're going to see Windows Media type as the one that they've picked as the format they want to show and highlight, whereas in Reel.com, they tend to show all formats, but a lot of Reel content as
sure.
well. So how they want to implement is really up to them. For example, Microsoft put in categorization, but Reel Networks didn't. So it's very flexible. We have an SDK and on-site engineering assistance to help people get Singingfish up and running successfully very, very quickly.
Now, you said that you're working on trying to distribute your technology out through other partners.
Yes.
Does that include like a Google or a...
I would love to work with Google. I would say, Google, for heaven's sake, why don't you just license Singingfish? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Isn't that a low-cost, high-quality solution to your problem? But
that's a good elevator pitch.
There you go.
But it's really up to them, and they are a company that I could see them easily wanting to maybe build it themselves over time, or perhaps they will license from us, which mm-hmm. would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like the Switzerland company. You want to work with us? We would love to work with you, because we do have competitors out there. We have AltaVista that does offer multimedia yeah. search, mm-hmm. as does Fast Search out of it's either Sweden or Norway.
Norway.
Yeah, thank you. And we would love to work with them, saying, gee, why don't you just cut the way you're doing it, take our index and promote that forward. That would make perfect sense, and that's a way of co-opetition that I think is very sensible.
One thing that we noticed when we were looking at AltaVista's media search is it doesn't seem to be as robust as what you guys are doing, and it seems like you guys are definitely leading that curve on what's happening. Do you see these other sites incorporating Singingfish?
I think that's a very realistic option for other sites to incorporate Singingfish.
Mm-hmm.
Audio video search. I think that makes perfect sense. And it's kind of horses for courses. You pick your battles, you do the right thing, that you leverage your strengths, right? And if what they're good at is image search or text search, then you work on that. Tell you what, let us supply the back end audio video search, because we are experts in that domain. We started when we began with Singingfish to build this engine from the ground up specifically for streaming media, which is an entirely different technology than looking for a text search or a document search type of technology or solution. You have to look at streams are very different beasts. You've got to basically peek inside them, extract header information, mm-hmm. determine what's in there. You've got to annotate the metadata that's there, and it's working with metadata. Typically in a text-based search, you've got all these wonderful words that are all over the page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes life a lot easier when you're trying to figure out what is this page about, because there's specific information that reference exactly what that page is about there.
Karen, can you go a little more in-depth about how your content's indexed? I was just trying to imagine, use voice activation software, or is it just titles?
It's basically what you're doing is looking for that metadata and the data about data. So you're looking for copyright information, title, author, artist, duration, bit rate, any number of different things, and as well as a description. And typically what we find is that people that are encoding or doing streaming right now, many people are not terribly sophisticated in the way they create their titles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if find the stream if you can, but I'm not going to make it easy for you. Where they'll title different streams with the same title, or with something that's almost nonsensical.
Yeah, that's what we notice as well. And you know, you can search for a lot of things, and there's a bunch of links there, but you don't know what they are because they're not
the
specific.
Titles aren't
great. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's not specific about what is there and what you can find. One thing else I notice is that when you talk about descriptions mm-hmm. versus titles, does your search results display those separately?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Well, one thing that we notice is that your titles display, just like in a search engine, you know,
right.
you have a title and you have
right.
a description of the site right below the title.
Mm-hmm.
Does your search results display actual descriptions versus just a title?
Okay. We do have a description field that we accommodate as part of the database.
Okay.
And where the description makes sense we definitely display them. And as a matter of fact, some universities are very good about giving very detailed explanations of exactly what that stream is about. In fact, the explanation might be longer than the stream itself. And we'll show the whole dang thing, basically, to help people take advantage of that information that's there. It's more typical, however, to have the reverse be the case, where there's mm-hmm. limited information or missing information. Now, what we also do is we license third-party databases, such as Muse, for example, for music. Mm-hmm. And what we are able to do there is we take a look at the stream and, okay, it's missing the copyright or it's missing some special genre information, for example, and we're able to stuff that back in through an automated process that we have working with third-party databases. We're very sophisticated on the database side. In fact, we have the largest Oracle license out of our entire corporate structure of Thomson, which is the fourth largest consumer electronics company in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very elegant front end to a database, really.
Yeah, that sounds terrific.
You know, in our case with Web Talk Guys, whenever I encode, I type in the title, and then in the description field, I actually just duplicate everything I've typed in the title, which is information about what's happening on that week's show. But being duplicative, that's probably not the best if I want to get a more of a descriptive entry. So your advice to me would be put more information in the description?
Yes, and maybe even the slightly different information if you're trying to get a keyword search hit. Mm-hmm. So if this were a talk about search engines, for example, having audio video as part of the descriptor might be a good idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because we'll be able to pull out ranking and relevancy based on what the query is along those lines.
Does it matter whether it's complete sentences or keyword situation? Or?
No, actually, because we handle plus words as well. But this is starting to get into where there's things that we'd love to be able to add to the engine that we're in the process of trying to do now.
Mm-hmm.
For example, misspellings, which we don't accommodate yet, but that's something we'd like to be able to do, and sort of nicknames, J-Lo, and knowing that that's Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, okay. Would you say that the title is more important than the description as far as indexing goes?
I would say that the title is very important in indexing.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the analogy that you look at if you had a regular search engine.
Yeah.
Where the title tag is far more important than the description. But the description, it's a little different paradigm, I think, with the streaming media. I mean, you're dealing with content that you can't necessarily index, and that's the actual stream itself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys working on any technology that will actually look at the stream itself to extract?
Stream indexing?
Yeah.
You know, that's a great question. We have a technology base out of Rennes, France, and what that allows us to do is to kind of shop a research and innovation group's technology portfolio. And so they're working on all kinds of really interesting things like image recognition, knowing that you are you and I'm me, and knowing when that shot changes, like shot detection technology.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're able to do is pull that kind of concept out of that group and look at actually prototyping it here. To see, okay, so how could we put that into our search?
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we are looking at. And I have to say that when you look at a non-consumer type solution and you're looking at an enterprise solution, anybody in an enterprise would dearly love to be able to do this in-stream indexing automatically, because what they want to do in the training video is skip over the boring part and get to the part that they're supposed to learn.
Yeah.
And just go right to that area. So we actually have some prototype software of in-stream indexing.
Mm-hmm.
And to my mind, it needs to be an automated process, which makes it perhaps less accurate, but still easy to use and much more affordable.
You can actually place little markers within your stream, right, and plug in metadata right into those markers.
You can. I don't know that we would be able to take advantage of them right now.
Okay.
I mean, with MPEG 7, which is a standard, that we are on the Standards Council for, in terms of developing all the different ways that you can tag information or an element, an audio-video element. Having those kind of markers in there is certainly part of that standard. The issue is getting people to be compliant with it.
Well, that actually, the labor in doing that is probably
exactly.
Horrendous.
Exactly. That's why I think anything that can be done to be more automated, where it is, in fact, scene summarization or shot detection, is a way to advance it forward in a logical method that is cost affordable.
Mm-hmm.
People can afford to get that solution in.
Boy, I can see a great opportunity for Singing Fish to hold content provider seminars across the mm-hmm. country. You know, I mean, this is going to educate people who are making the content how to best present it so that it's going to be useful from now into the future.
We would love to do that. Exactly.
We have Karen Howe on the phone with us today. She's the CEO of Singing Fish, giving us a peek inside her audiovisual search engine company. We'll have more with Karen in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Guys Radio.
Streaming Magazine, the premier publication for innovative leaders in new media. Streaming audio and video, MP3, digital rights management, MPEG-4, broadband, wireless delivery, and growing markets. Get fresh news updated daily and streaming audio and video interviews with key industry players at StreamingMagazine.com. Whether it's finance, legal issues, strategic alliances, or business development, our award-winning writers know the streaming industry inside and out. Contact us at 1-800-610-5771 or at StreamingMagazine.com.
This internet station sounds great on your computer, but you don't want to sit around in front of your computer all day. You have a life.
You got it.
Places to be and people to see.
You got that right.
Thanks to the Mobile Broadcast Network, you can take your tunes with you anywhere, anytime, and listen to your favorite internet station on your cell phone.
Awesome.
Get hooked up. The Mobile Broadcast Network is brought to you exclusively by XS Voice.
I'll be listening.
The Web.Guy is proud to be affiliated with the Mobile Broadcast Network. Just use any wireless phone to dial and access to amazing content like the Web.Guys, Guys, the Fox News Channel, Associated Press, the Vatican Radio, Israel Radio, Virgin Radio, all starting at under $6 a month. To get connected to the Web.Guys, Guys and other great news and music on your cell phone, click on over to www.webtalkguys.com and sign up at the Web.Guys, Guys Mobile Broadcast Network link.
They make it possible for you to hear your favorite internet station anytime, anywhere, on your cell phone, and listen to internet radio on the go.
Web Talk Radio is back. I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm here with Web Girl Dana.
And we're having a conversation with Karen Howe. She's the CEO of the audiovisual search engine company, SingingFish.com. Karen, why don't you take us sort of through your unique perspective on what you're seeing as far as what people are searching for. You kind of mentioned J-Lo and Madonna earlier, but you're seeing things that people like Google are seeing. You know, what are the popular trends? What's the number one type of searches? And why don't you share some of that with us?
What I think is really interesting is that you could probably say that about 40% of all queries on any search engine is entertainment related. And I'm not making this number up. This is actually something that was tossed back at me from some folks from Google, actually. And I think what it shows is just how much people are interested in music, in sports, in movies, and other categories within the entertainment industry. So what we believe is that people would probably be better served, frankly, if they did a search and were able to see both text and audio video results on the same page in a search results page. And what we're seeing in terms of popularity today is certainly music is number one for us. 60% of all of our queries are music related. Now, you would expect that, though, because we are specialized to be audio and video. Right after that is certainly movies and then sports. And then news falling after that.
Are content providers giving you guys access to their streams? I guess that's a much broader issue, and it kind of brings in the whole digital rights management issue. And is that a big factor for you guys right now?
It's an interesting area for several reasons. First of all, you've got content providers that are thinking about, you know, this is really expensive. How do I make a buck off my content? And what we would suggest to them is sell a subscription then, because you have worthy content. For heaven's sake, you should be able to charge for it. If you have something of value, people need to pay for that value. Let us help you sell that subscription. And the best way to do that is give us clips or appropriate content for our search engine. Let people have the experience, be able to evaluate, gee, this is fabulous. I really want to take advantage of getting this service on a regular basis. And then allow them the opportunity to subscribe on the spot. I'll give you an example of a fashion show. Guy, there's a fellow in New York that called saying, you know, for heaven's sake, I think I need to have my streams pulled out of your index. I said, well, okay, we can do that, but why? Well, it's because it's just so expensive. It, you know, I'm a small company, I'm hosting all this, and you're making me too popular. And it was killing him. And I said, well, you know what? buddy, we need to work on your business model, because what you should be able to do here is, if you've got something of value because people want it, let's talk about how you show maybe one stream a week that changes, and then sell the subscription, because there are people out there that clearly want your content, mm-hmm. and they will pay you for the content. But let us help you find a way to monetize it. And he goes, yeah, that's a really good idea. So, you know, that's the direction he was going to go off in. You're starting to see sites like CNN thinking, well, okay, I'm going to start closing my doors on my streaming content.
So are you going to offer services to help support that, or what you're proposing is offering a searchable technology within that paid subscription content area?
What people would be able to do is, for example, I'll take the fashion show guy again. Mm-hmm. What he'd be able to do is just work with us to give us the stream through an XML feed, for example, or we could spider him, whichever way. What he could do then is, once we have the content there, anytime you play a stream out of Singing Fish, what you're going to get is the opportunity to have the stream play plus the associated landing page. Mm. And in most cases, like if we just spider you, it's going to be your homepage. There's nothing special there. But if you go with a more of a paid inclusion type of a model, what you're able to do with that landing page is customize it any way you want. So if you want to make that an upsell for a subscription service, if you want to make it, you know, get the T-shirt, get the tickets, buy the CD, get the DVD, you know, whatever the heck it is that is your thing that you want to promote, that's your medium in which to do it.
So the actual audio-video content that they would get off of that link would just be a sample? Is that what you're thinking?
It could be, or it could be the full boat. It really is up to that content provider. You know, we really recommend giving people a full experience and not going with a clip. You know, mm-hmm. a 30-second clip, sometimes that's enough to sell a CD, but oftentimes it's not. Typically what people want to do is they want to listen to the whole song, and that does work for them as a commercial opportunity for them to want to go ahead and move forward to get the CD or to mm-hmm. purchase that song. We find that people on the internet that listen to audio and video are far more likely to actually purchase the CD.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can look at the Arbitron studies that basically verify that.
What content formats are the most popular right now? Are you indexing all of them?
I wish I could say we were indexing all of them. What we index today are Reel, Windows, MP3s, QuickTime. And there's certainly others out there that, like MPEG-4, for example, mm-hmm. and DivX or Flash, and those are all areas that we would like to be able to support in the future.
Coming soon to a Singing Fish near you.
Well, right, and it's just a question of resources and getting it forward.
Sort of the same sort of question, do you find audio being accessed more than video? You did say music was number one.
Music is number one, and I would say that audio probably more than video. It does relate somewhat to the broadband strictures in the home, that you only have, like, what, 28% penetration of broadband. But I have to say, at work, those aren't the same numbers. And
no.
At work,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people have T1 and beyond. So what we find is that there's a tremendous amount of usage during the work day of audio-video streaming.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
In that case, I think they probably are looking to a lot of video.
Well, that's exactly what we see with our traffic numbers as well.
Actually,
our weekend traffic is probably 10 or 20% less than our weekday traffic.
Yeah, and I looked at Arbitron MeasureCast today, and they always show the listener demographics, and the highest hours of listenership is 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. That takes account into both coasts, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The question that's been ringing in my mind about the solution you guys are providing is will people over the next few years, as broadband gets further adopted, be searching multimedia content first and then textual content? Because right now, when you look at how people consume media right now, it's primarily video. Would you say that analogy is going to translate over to what you're doing?
I think it will, and I think that the proof in that is kind of that earlier statement that I made about 40% of queries are probably entertainment-related. If it's entertainment-related, I'd argue that you would be better served by getting an audio-video result than a text result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily want to read the review of the music. I would much rather just listen to the music.
Yeah. So a blending of a search result. So if you integrate in with a Google, when they pull up a results page about WebTalk Guys, it's going to pop up a direct stream link with a link also to any textual content that provides backup to that.
And then let people make up their own minds about what they want to do. They know what they're connected to. They know what kind of time they've got, and they know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Just make it clear what the choices are and let people have at it.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever see linking directly to the streams without including a web page with that is something that will be viable? And is that a way for you guys to avoid conflicts with use and copyright?
Well, right now we don't have any conflicts with use or copyright because we are a search engine and we do not take any content. Mm-hmm. We create an index from information from the content. Mm-hmm. Now, providing that landing page or that referring web page information, I think is very important because it gives the content creator credit for the work that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So by just clicking on the stream and just getting the stream, you're kind of robbing the content creator of that opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm the BBC and I did this. There's a win in there for the content producer or creator by having that associated web page or landing page to have the stream play in a way that the end user wants. So they've interacted, and you've never left that portal, right? So the portal wins because they've kept you.
Yeah.
So this is one of those win-win-win triangles.
That's great.
That doesn't happen very often, and it actually really works.
Yeah.
And, you know, there has been controversy about deep linking so that they don't get an opportunity to show their ad banners and stuff, and that, of course, is alleviated because of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Singing Fish is... You don't have to worry about necessarily partnering with Google because you've got the main ones. You've got WindowsMedia.com, the players, Real and Real One Player, and their Real Guide. Tell us about achieving that. That itself is a big milestone to be the provider for those players.
It is because they were very, very, wow, they really put us through the ringer. I mean, put us through the ringer in terms of checking things, testing, trialing. What about this? What about that? What about this performance or that performance issue? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? What kind of backup do you have? What's your home phone number? Do you have a firstborn we could talk to? You know, there's a lot to go through when you're
like
doing business with these folks. I think it did help us to be proximate. They understand that we're right here and we can be on site in 2 seconds if that's the required. You know, it doesn't typically require that, but we could if we had to. It also helps that we are small at Singing Fish. We're not a huge company. We're 35 people that are pretty technical in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So we can move very, very quickly to solve problems or to add features. But then the plus side is that we're part of a very large company, which is Thomson. So we get that benefit as well that umbrellas us. You know, it basically buffers us, I guess, to a certain extent, so that they know that we're not going to go away tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And thanks to you and the two other companies you mentioned, and you've made Seattle the streaming media capital of the world like it always has been, makes me very proud.
Yeah. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, the players have adopted your technology first is what it looks like, the Windows Media and the Real One Player. Do you see that search functionality competing ultimately with a Google? I mean, are you seeing them, the players, incorporating textual content as well at some point to support this?
You know, you'd almost have to ask them that question.
Yeah.
If I were to project into the future, I think they would be better served as media players to stick with media and other forms of rich media, because that's kind of the game that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that area becoming more and more enhanced. As streaming becomes more part of the corporate culture and more part of what people typically do to generate marketing materials, so it's not just the brochure, but it's also the stream, for example. But that becomes just part of the marketing mix, kind of standard operating stuff. I could see that interplay and that blending of results like we talked about earlier just being kind of standard, you know, just what you would expect.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
We're chatting with Karen Howe, the CEO of SingingFish.com. And this is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Hey, you're a website guru, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, what do you think about audio in the web world?
I think audio and websites are definitely the wave of the future. In this time of high technology, any website with audio on it is a sticky website, a site that's hard to leave once you have gotten there.
I see. It's kind of like listening to a song on the radio and then watching the video. There's a big difference.
Exactly. Instead of having to read the website, the site is read to you. It's a lot easier to learn about the site's product or service. The possibilities are endless, really. Let's say you're a coffee vendor and you have a website. Beside each different coffee drink listed, you can have an audio clip telling you the ingredients of the drink, the quantity, and the cost. Now that's user-friendly.
Loudbox Productions does just that. We are your web-enabled audio specialists. Contact us at loudbox.com. Let us help you tunnel your way into the future.
Get your dot-com drama right here, right now on the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show.
You're still connected to the Web Talk Guys Radio Show. I'm Rob Greenlee, and Web Girl Dana's here.
We're in the middle of a conversation with the CEO of Singing Fish, Karen Howe.
What about the key industries right now out there for streaming media, the corporate environment, mm-hmm. the educational environment,
right.
and the governmental environment? Are you guys going to offer your search technologies to those type of corporations for internal search?
Yes, but probably not right this second, and I can explain why. Basically, we explored doing precisely that, building basically audio-video search for enterprise, but right now there's just not enough companies that are doing enough mm-hmm. to warrant this kind of endeavor. And, for example, you could look at Boeing. Boeing has 10,000 streams behind their firewall.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking of.
Well, right, and the government, got heaven only knows how many streams that they've got, but you know that there's going to be a lot. And pharmaceutical companies is another, where they have a tremendous number of streams, and, of course, financial institutions, where we have the famous ego cast of the CEO doing the talk every day.
Yeah.
God knows I'd love to do that, but I you know, 30 people is just not worth it. So.
Ego cast, that's a good one. I have to remember that one.
So it's just starting, and I would say our energy is far better spent to continue to improve audio-video search experiences for our business customers. So ours is a B2B, and then it goes out to the consumer that way via our partners. But enterprise is a space that I'm very interested in seeing what we could do work for, but probably in about 2 years' time. I just think it's that far out.
Yeah, it's just too soon, right?
It's too soon where they don't have a business need, where they go, God, that's really cool. But, you know, mm-hmm. that just doesn't get you the signed purchase order. It just is, you know, not even close.
Cool so, just isn't good enough anymore, is
wow.
it?
Wow. No. Isn't that tragic? It's yeah. so tragic.
Yeah. Gone are those days. You know, you mentioned, Karen, that you're B2B, so you are licensing your software to the various content.
Right.
But, and I'm sure you've thought of this, obviously, your founder is a CPA, correct?
Yeah.
But have you thought of the B2C part of it where you are going to accept sponsored media links? You know what I'm talking about here? So Joe, the infomercial king, wants
right.
to put his Tempur-Pedic mattress video
yep.
at the top.
Oh, at the top. Oh, paid placement. Okay.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's paid inclusion and paid placement as
oh.
business models.
Okay.
And I would say that, yes, that we're definitely entertaining paid inclusion today as an opportunity because, like any search engine, we're all looking at trying to figure out how we monetize what we do.
Yeah.
And with a portal, like let's just take Yahoo or MSN or any of those out there today, for them to add a service like audio-video search, they have to find a way to monetize it, or it's very hard for them to add the service. Even though it would be a great benefit to end users,
mm-hmm.
they've still got to make it cost-effective for themselves to do.
Sure.
And the way to do that is through a paid placement or paid inclusion model that allows for them to share in some of that revenue. So I think it's a good idea to move in that direction. And I can also tell you that in search engine advertising in general, that is the one area, the one truly bright spot mm-hmm. in online advertising. It grew 60% in 2001. It grew 150% in 2002.
Mm.
And the only reason why it did is because it worked
mm-hmm.
and because it was not an interruptive experience for the end user, for the mm-hmm. consumer. In fact, the consumer either didn't notice it, that it was even an ad, or right. felt it was a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Now, can you tell us a little more details, maybe like what the cost is for right now, what you're doing for the inclusion or the paid inclusion for the streaming content providers that are
you know,
wanting to
I know. Don't have the pricing information in front of me mm-hmm. right this second. I can tell you that it's pretty much in line with what other folks are offering in terms of paid inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
A per URL,
okay.
where it's, you know, inexpensive, just a few dollars, really, for and that can be for the whole year, and then there's a paid inclusion model, which is more of a cost per click type of a deal, and
okay.
so it's pay for performance.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is good, because that way you can keep your budgets under control, And I am stunned at the number of companies that have been doing search engine optimization for years.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really good at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How is that model different with audio and video? I would imagine the more the more I think about it, is it's a little different model than what Google's doing or what.
But see, they can't do it. Right now, today, they could not accept your stream if it were, say, let's say it was music.
Yeah.
And you were going to be selling music, for example. And so he said, here are my music streams. I want to sell subscriptions to a music service. They'd say, sorry, I can't do anything for you, because they can't accept the streams. No one can, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we could. And what better way to buy music than to actually be able to listen to it first?
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, we would be able to take the streaming information. We help people with their metadata so that it has value, that it's mm-hmm. cleaned up, it's coherent, you know, people understand it and can find it actionable. And off it goes into the index. We don't guarantee the placement about where it's going to fall, but typically things that have been indexed well, where people have spent some time and attention on the metadata, they tend to naturally come to the top.
Yeah. So the actual content that you guys have in the search engine right now is probably mostly content that you guys have gone out and extracted from the internet on your own, and it wasn't a paid inclusion type of a model.
Oh, that's exactly right, because we have the paid inclusion model doesn't even formally start for us until March 4th.
Oh, okay. Now, how would a sponsored link work?
You know, that's a paid placement deal, and we do not have that technology in place to do that today. That is a direction over for later this year.
It's good.
Because typically what you've got very large advertisers, like a GM, for example. They really want a paid placement.
Mm-hmm.
They're big, they're powerful, they want their spot. And inclusion, that's going to work a lot better maybe for smaller companies.
What type of content do you see them making as a sponsored link type of thing? Would it be a commercial, or would it be sort of a longer form format?
I think what it's going to be is, not a commercial, unless it happens to be a really cool, well-executed.
Like a Super Bowl commercial, right?
Yeah. Now, those are good.
Yeah, those are really good.
Let's share those, among our friends. You know, those are a kick. That's fine, because that's actually entertainment.
Yeah.
So I think our first best hit's going to be in the entertainment field. It's probably going to be movies, sports, and music would be the top advertisers to start with, because it just sort of makes logical sense. Over time, as search results become blended on portal pages, then it might make a huge amount of sense for a larger advertiser to have specialized content to put into a search engine like Singing Fish. And look at the BMW commercials,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are 5 minutes, the movies, the mini movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those worked. Sales of BMWs went up.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a tremendous number of studies that are being done to show how by spending more online in your online advertising, that lifts all media. It lifts your print. It lifts your radio. It lifts your TV spots. So there's a general happiness that happens basically once you start investing in online advertising, which is kind of new news, because the online industry has had to kind of fight against all the bad news about the banner ads that didn't work so well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the ultimate question here is will you guys support live streaming, and what will that be something that will be able to be indexed?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, have been times when we have supported live streaming today.
Wow, that's terrific. Now, how does that work that's different than the on-demand?
A live stream, well, it's an event that's happening at that particular time.
So would that be more of like a sponsored placement type of a relationship?
Well, it in the past it hasn't been. It's been more like a special event that's just current and live and that we know about and we're able to just link into at that time.
Okay.
But it's been kind of random and not something that's been really made into a product, if you will, or formalized, I guess. So we can do live events today, but there's not that many of them.
Yeah, that's true. It's really tapered off a lot over
it's
the last couple of years.
Yeah, webcasts have really, 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 they've just declined. I'd say that as they come back again, or as you're able again to categorize them in ways that make good sense, like if you wanted to do live casts of financial news, and just corral all of those into the live cast section,
mm-hmm.
you could probably do that as there are more and more that come online. And as breaking news happens, like if we get into a political conflict, for example, there will be a tremendous amount of breaking news.
Karen, the big thing with digital audio video delivery is for businesses anyway, is the ROI. Are we going to make it earn money for us? And last week, your founder spoke at the Digital Content Delivery Expo in San Jose. Can you share maybe some of the things that he talked about, which the topic was how to monetize your digital content? Maybe give some tips, because we have a lot of people listening that actually create content.
If you've got content, please, please, please make it easy for us to find it. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is that when you're creating the media itself, and include at a minimum some basic data items, such as basically in the media itself, the title, the description, the date, mm-hmm. the copyright. Make the title and the description meaningful. Try to say something like, using Chill Out 100 Spa to relieve muscle tension, not just spa.
Yeah.
You know, be specific and be clear. Use all the meta tags on the web page with the multimedia clips, including like the meta page title, meta description, and the meta keywords. Don't spam or spoof the meta tags.
Sex, 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 sex.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Please don't do that. And, you know, we do have, by the way, a very strong family filter. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we take very seriously, so that and our customers have all implemented it with it as a default turned on.
Okay.
So, because there's a lot of different kinds of content out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just make sure that if you're using Singing Fish and you submit your site to us, make sure that, you know, basically if you do that, then we will spider you and we'll be able to find you. Or you could, you know, alternatively, you could give us an XML feed of all of your links and then update it on a regular basis so everything we've got is fresh. Now, what we do is we go out and we will validate streams. So in addition to the spidering technology that we have validation technology. So we will validate the stream to check to make sure that it's still active and live. If it comes back as dead too many times or within certain time frames, we will pull the stream.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Well, Karen, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, I'm so delighted that you had time to talk.
It was great having you on and hearing all about singingfish.com. I think you guys are doing some really cool stuff up there in Seattle, right there in the media, multimedia hub of the internet. We've been speaking with Karen Howe, who's the CEO of singingfish.com. Go check him out at singingfish.com. This is Web.Guys Radio.
And I'm Web Girl Dana.
And my name is Rob Greenlee, and we hope to have you back with us again next week. I'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.